James Keogh was pretty happy with his life. He was a part-time gardener. He was still living at home with his parents. And he was playing in a covers band. But there was a riff that he started to play on his ukulele one day that really, really stuck. And that eventually would become Riptide by the artist we now know as Vance Joy. This is a song that hit the top of the charts on a worldwide scale. It is currently 9 times platinum in Australia, 4 times platinum in the States, it's 6 times platinum in Canada, I think it's 2 times platinum in Italy, and it just goes on. I'm Linda Mariano, welcome to Inspired, and yes, we are talking to Vance Joy about the making of Riptide, and he's even bringing in his ukulele. So let's begin. Welcome back, Vance. Hello.
Hey, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you for coming in. And not only that, you've brought a friend, as in a ukulele. That's going to help us talk about this song, aren't we?
Yeah. I've got a little uke tuned to the right key and everything, so this is ready to go.
Okay. Well, look, let's start at the beginning, I suppose. What was going on in your life when you started to write Riptide?
Oh, it would have been like a long time ago. It was 2009. I think I was just like playing football a bit, and like at university I was still studying. I had a part-time job as a gardener. Those kind of three things, plus, you know, just my friends and my girlfriend at the time. That was like my little world. Music wasn't really on my radar. Like I played in a little band after school for about 3 years with my, you know, my best mates, and we were pretty like, it was just like throw and go. Like we'd play tiny gigs around Melbourne like on Tuesday nights with like for 30 friends who were like our close group of mates. So I hadn't really had much experience like writing songs or playing in front of people. Anytime I picked up the guitar, it was just to play covers for friends.
Were you singing in that band?
I was the singer, actually. Yeah.
And what were you covering?
When I would play guitar and play covers, I'd play just my mates, and I'd play at like the football club that I was playing at. So I'd play kind of like the go-to kind of jock rock kind of anthems like Feel Shimmer and like My Hero by the Foo Fighters and kind of all that kind of stuff, which was fun. But with the band, we kind of just ripped off Bloc Party and Joy Division. So the songs, my voice sounds completely different. Like I've got this really deep kind of, what's that band? Interpol kind of vibe. Mm. I listen back to these songs. There's a couple of songs that I think.
I'm trying to think of you singing an Interpol song.
Oh, God. It was, oh, my God. I used to wear this like T-shirt that had like a skeleton on it. I remember that I'd wear that to every gig, and I would stand kind of motionless in front of the mic without an instrument. Sometimes I'd play keyboard. So this is like so different to like me playing guitar. I'd stand in front of the mic motionless with the keyboard, and I'd kind of be like, do 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 do.
You were going, love will tear us apart.
Yeah. When I started writing Riptide, it was really just like I'd pick up the guitar purely without any intention of writing a song. And I remember I played 3 chords. It was A minor, G, C, in the rhythm of the song, which is basically like one of the 3 guitar rhythms that I can play, which is down, down, up, up, down, up. Like, and I was just like, this is the most simple rhythm, simple chords. I was, you know, I didn't think anything of it. And without even thinking, didn't have anything in my head. I was just kind of like, almost like stream of consciousness. I just, I said the lines.
I was scared of dentists and the dark.
I don't know where that came from. Like, that's totally random. And then
I was scared of pretty girls and starting conversations.
Those 2 lines came out completely formed, you know, in terms of pure kind of just tuning into something special. each little segment of the song kind of, I felt like I was kind of playing with an old radio and I'd just tune in and then the song was kind of being sent to me. So, yeah, it was, those two lines came to me in 2009. I remember just, I think I'd just been in working in the garden and I came home and I was at Mum and Dad's house and those two lines were there. I finished uni over the next three years, but during that time I just kind of be kind of hacking away trying to make songs, and I started playing open mic nights not long after that.
So then when did you start remembering that you'd written these couple of lines about the dentist and, you know, starting conversations with girls, that you picked up the uke again?
I finished my degree, but I'd failed a couple of subjects, so I had to go back to summer uni class. I was doing the easiest classes I could find, and I would go to uni a couple of days, like in summertime when everyone's on holidays. And I was staying with my friend Will. He was living in a place in Brunswick, and I rented a room for 2 months while one of his roommates went on holidays. Most of the days, I'd go to uni, and then he would go to work, and the house would be empty, and I'd just kind of potter around the house, play this little ukulele that I bought, the little crappy one. He was like, "Do you want to go to the shops and get some dinner?" And I remember I was like, "Oh, I'll just take the uke with me." While I was walking, I was just playing this little riff, which was... And I don't know, just somehow that formed into like... If I, you know, if I look back at the time, I wasn't really conscious of it like forming in that kind of step-by-step way. But yeah, when I think about it now, that's kind of, that was the stepping stone. And then I remember being in class like a couple of days later and I was just jotting kind of lyrics into the borders of my notes. And I don't know, I just had like Lady Running Down to the Riptide, Taken Away the Dark Side. Didn't have a guitar with me, but I was like, that feels like it's going to fit. And I kind of zoomed home and I remember I was like singing it in the car, and I got home, picked up a guitar and it fit and it felt really good.
Lady running down to the riptide, taken away to the dark side, I want to be your left hand man.
And you were mentioning before about how you'd had everything kind of fleshed out in the song. You had all the lyrics in there as well. Throughout this track, there are some really wonderful references. And, you know, if you know and love this song, Riptide by Vance Joy, there are some cinematic references in there. You reference the film Midnight Cowboy.
Hey, I'm walking here.
You reference Michelle Pfeiffer.
Meow.
I've got to ask, how closely tied are visuals and music for you when you're writing?
When I'm writing a song, I just think of even songs I've written recently. If it's, say, a short story I've read or a film I've seen, it kind of like if I close my eyes and I think of this little world of that story or the film I've seen, if it's a really vivid imagery, it just kind of stays in my brain, and I kind of like to just go into that world. And especially if I've got a melody and some chords, basically a skeleton of a song, it's almost like really enjoyable just to have that world that is opening up for me in my mind. So there's also references that are kind of more, I guess, more personal. Like when I was a little kid, my first kind of beach holiday, we went to a place in Queenscliff, which is a little beach town down in Victoria. This little motel we went to was called Riptide Motel, and we'd call the beach that was next to the motel the Riptide Beach. And so I just have lots of memories from being there. So I think, you know, I wasn't too conscious of it at the time, but when that word flew out to me, I think it was, you know, it was deeply embedded somewhere from my, you know, from my childhood. It's nice when things mix together. Like, I wish that it's like a big soup and it's like, wow, like inspiration can really come from anywhere. I remember not long before I wrote the song, I was at my auntie and her partner over at my house, and she was saying that her partner Barry is like her number one guy, and she's like, he's my right hand man, and she's like, he's my left hand man because he's left handed. And I was like, oh. And like, it's like, what, where, like, is this funny that stuck in my brain? Like, all the stuff you write into your phone and you try and like really like work away on songs, but it's just a throwaway line that someone says that sometimes just gets caught and somehow finds a little place in a song.
We've got the song, the jigsaw pieces are coming together, and then we have to talk about this brilliant halfway eating pasta kitchen video that has gone online. It's on your YouTube, and it's a very early formation of this song. So I'm guessing this must have been around the time that you were living with Will. You were sitting down to a beautiful housemate-friendly dinner.
Yes.
And somehow this song, as you said, all the pieces had come together for you. And this is a little bit of that video that you can see online.
I was scared of dentists in the dark. I was scared of pretty girls and starting conversations. And all my friends were turning green. You're the magician's assistant in their dreams.
It's essentially remained the same, Vance.
Yeah.
It's like you had the whole song here.
Yeah, I know. That's funny. It's like that's the start of 2012. That's ages ago. I think I'd probably written it a couple of days before, but I was pretty stoked, and I think I was wanting to show it to every single person I knew, and also just anyone I could get to listen. And I think it was just after dinner, I wanted to get a little video to put up on Facebook. I think it got like 70 likes, and I was like, oh my god, like this is crazy, like so many likes, you know, like because you put up something funny at that. I feel like in 2012, I don't know, and I don't want to be like some like person's like back in the day, but like 30 likes was a pretty good thing, I reckon. The fact it got 70 likes, I was like so stoked. And at the time I was working also in like a little call center. And I was kind of saving up some money, and I had enough money to go into the studio. So I looked into Red Door Sounds in Brunswick. I remember I called up and I kept like just, I got the number off the website, and I'm just like some random dude being like, hey, can, I just wonder if I could get in for like a day to like, you know, do a recording. I eventually got a day booked in, and I remember I rocked up at 10 o'clock with Ed, my drummer. This is like in May. So I think it's a couple of months after this. And I'd been playing the song for a little while at open mics, and me and Ed, my drummer, who's still my drummer, we hadn't really even figured out what kind of production we'd put on the song, because this was our first experience ever like recording a song. So we got in there about 10 in the morning, and there was a really lovely guy called Tyson Fish, who was the engineer for the day, and he was like, just play me the song. And I just played him the song just so he got an idea of the way it went. And he was like, okay, go and record the uke. And I tuned up the uke, and I went out there, and they're like, do you want a click? And I was like, okay. And they put a click on. And I could not play to a click. Like, I hadn't done it really. So I was just like, I don't think I can do this. Like, I was just so stressed out. So I just played it to no click. And I just sat there and played the song out. I sucked at saying in time. So I just played the whole song off by heart. And I just kind of sat there. And it was like 3 minutes. Just play for 3 minutes. Like, you get so lost. There's only three chords. And I was like, okay, when is the chorus? And I was like, And I just like do that for like 3.5 minutes. And then I was like, oh shit, where am I in the song? And then I remember there was an instrumental section that I had, and because I was just going kind of imagining how long the song was going, and I was trying to imagine what lyrics were going where, because I was just playing just the uke, the song, I'm just so lucky that I could actually play the right length, because I remember getting it done, and then we put all these layers on it, and I was like, wait, have I actually played the song long enough? Like, am I gonna fit in everything? And then it was the perfect length, so I got all the lyrics in. It probably made everyone's life really hard, because it's the timing is all over the place. So my drummer had to go and put tambourine hits like at irregular points, and you just have to kind of listen and be like, but it took all night, and we finished recording it at like 5 a.m. that morning. And I went and got a USB from Officeworks, and we put it on. I remember showing people that song, and I was like, it was the best thing ever. Like, it just sounded so exciting, like, to hear, like, drums and bass and all that stuff. And my voice is really rough, because, like, I remember just, like, I was kind of almost, like, screaming the song. I think early days, I think I really screamed and really pushed really hard, which is kind of a nice thing for emotion, so.
Oh, and the cow monster.
Yeah, I'm going on a bit, aren't I?
This is perfect. Yeah. It's a true. It fleshes out how much a true recording of you this song is, and even you saying that it was the first time that you'd thought about it or put in percussion. And I was listening to the instrumental of this, and in particular the percussion, and it is like, listen to this. It's joyful.
You. Ed.
It is some of the warmest sounding percussion. Seriously, it's just one of those things.
Okay, it's so good. Makes me happy. Mm.
That's it. And you don't really get to hear it on its own in the song, but when isolated, you go, God, that is fun. Oh, yeah, do a little riff along to it.
That's so nice. I love playing to that.
Because we've got live recordings of you doing Riptide. They are just glorious. Glorious bands. Like, this is one from Splendor in the Grass from a couple years ago. You know what? The crowd is like being you when you did that song where they're screaming it at the top of their lungs.
That's so good. I think I remember that one. Yeah. First two times we played at Splendor was like crazy electricity coming off the crowd. It always is, but when you're not used to it, it's like it blows you off your feet. People jumping up, like the wave of people screaming it. So I found that, like, especially early on, like we played our first gig in 2012 at this place called the Workers Club, and it's like 200 cap room or something, and even that time, first time we ever played it, the song had been out a little bit on like SoundCloud for, you know, like 6 months or something, and I guess between my friends and a few random people that knew the song, they really belted the song out that night, and I was like, whoa, it's like it just kept on getting multiplied, that experience, and like it's, you know, feeling the energy and getting kind of feeling the connection with everyone in the crowd. It's so good.
Dude, well, we've got to play this song here on Triple J for Inspired, Vance Joy's Riptide. You've got your uke in your hand. Will you give us a little play out or something?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Give us some little finale vibe.
I want to sing it like I used to. It was like.
Yeah, go.
And I would fully do a growl. Like, oh, 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 and they come on step, etc.
That's perfect. With the wolf howl and everything. Lady running down to the riptide, taken away to the dark side. I want to be your left hand. By Vance Joy for Inspired. Hope you liked it. And if you did, please feel free to subscribe and leave us a review. And while you're here feeling the sweetness of Vance Joy, you might also like the Angus and Julia Stone episode. We can go to the Chateau Marmont and dance in the hotel room. I had the pleasure of speaking to this award-winning brother-sister duo about how a massive storm isolating them at Angus's farmhouse in Byron Bay actually led to one of their biggest hits ever, Chateau.
Yeah, we were sort of locked in, and it was kind of cool in that way because it created this sort of thing. You know, you're there and you're not going anywhere, and cool stuff can happen when that happens.
It's sort of like the feeling of when you were a kid and there was a blackout. You know, and you would all as a family light candles and sit around, and you were sort of, not that you were trapped, but you felt that kind of togetherness in this, you know, nature's locked us down and we have to just go with it.
It's Inspired. I'm Linda Mariano. Thank you for listening.